With its white sand beaches and swaying palm trees, Hawaii is often seen as a paradise. At the same time, its capital city, Honolulu, is a big city with its own set of stresses on everyday life. We're joined on Travel with Rick Steves now by author Don Wallace for a look at what people are talking about on Oahu and maybe a few tips for what we visitors can look into away from the busy high-rises in Waikiki. Aloha, Don.
Hi. Well, Rick, what's going on in Honolulu is sort of unruly. There's been an election. They have thrown out the incumbent governor, and the reason is there's a feeling that there's been too much development, and there's been a giant wave of construction that's changing the city. Now, it's great that the people have risen up and want to slow this down, and in the meantime, it means for those who visit, there are some really good places that you should see and see now to escape, I guess, what you might call the construction site feeling that you get in certain neighborhoods.
So what exactly do the construction plans threaten?
Well, a lot of it is just simply adding in condominiums, and a lot of these condominiums are for Chinese investors and outside investors. And what that means is highways are closed, you get 29-story buildings popping up, and they've choked off one neighborhood that was going to become the Brooklyn of Honolulu. It was called Kaka'ako. And Kaka'ako really has a happening scene. It has food trucks in a thing called Eat the Street. It had arts. Eat the Street.
Tell me about everyone that. That sounds good.
Everyone in Honolulu knows about Eat the Street, and it's a rally of food trucks. Go to the website Eat the Street, and they'll tell you where they're gathering, and you'll get 20 or 30 food trucks. It becomes quite a party at night. The theme can vary. There'll be themes to the food and themes to the entertainment.
Wow. Now, you talked also about this influx of population from Asia. Are these wealthy people from Hong Kong or China that just want stability in their future and they've got enough money to make that move?
Well, it's really investment property. From what I understand, Shanghai and a lot of China have a lot of construction towers that build these apartments, and they call them see-throughs because no one ever lives in them. They're simply a place to park the money. And that's because you can't simply collect interest on investments in China. So what they're doing is they're driving investment all over the country, New York as well.
So they're parking their money in Hawaii, buying buildings that there's not even a market for, and messing up local neighborhoods.
I think it's too late to stop a lot of the construction, but a lot of it was inevitable anyway, the way that modern times tends to bring more and more. But what we've got in Hawaii are some neighborhoods like Kaimuki and Chinatown, which have not been touched by the construction. And because the construction is forcing the creative people into these neighborhoods, they're becoming more and more exciting, more and more interesting.
Now, it sounds like Chinatown is sort of really a vibrant arts center and stubbornly surviving all the change around it.
I think stubborn's a very good word. You know, Chinatown was even in the center of World War II. Imagine being swarmed with 3 million GIs in 4 years. Huh. It's a very colorful place, but at the same time, and it's kind of a warning, it's funky, it's real. It can even get smelly if it hasn't rained in a while. But what is great about it is they're not really paying attention to the tourists. So you can walk around and see good dim sum. You'll see lay makers and sellers on the corner, roast duck shops, dive bars, tattoo parlors. Chinatown is really the epicenter of the whole tattoo movement, which started really in World War II with Sailor Jerry. So when you see people all getting their tattoos today, it really originates from this one very funky neighborhood in Honolulu.
Wow. I'm talking with Don Wallace. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking about his hometown, Honolulu. We've got some calls coming in here. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. Before I get to the calls, I'm just going to say a famous site, and I'd just like to get your quick take on that, because when we fly to, a lot of times we fly to Honolulu heading off to a smaller island and we want to just do some quick sightseeing in the sightseeing center. What's your take on visiting Pearl Harbor?
Well, you know, I think every American will, even no matter how cynical or jaded, will find themselves amazed by visiting Pearl Harbor, will find themselves moved. There's been a really excellent renovation done of the facilities and the museum that is there. It's a museum not just of Pearl Harbor, the attack on December 7th. It's a museum of life as it was lived during the war years in Hawaii.
What about Diamond Head? You live in the area of Diamond Head. It's a great place for hiking. How do you enjoy Diamond Head?
I would say the first thing you do when you arrive in Honolulu, wake up, make a left from your hotel, and hike up Diamond Head. Do it early in the morning. You can enter the crater from the backside and hike all the way up to the overlook.
760 feet above the ocean on the lip of a crater, of a volcanic crater.
Wow. That's right.
So step out of your hotel, turn left, and go to the top of the mountain.
Right.
Left.
Left.
Gotcha. What about Waikiki?
Waikiki is really quite Kalakaua. Running down the waterfront is one of the great esplanades, and you can just walk along one of the great surfing beaches in history. It's where surfing really took off. Duke Kahanamoku brought it to the world. It's beautiful, and you just keep going, I'd say, in a left direction, as I said, and yeah, you'll find outdoor cafes.
Sounds great.
You'll find an aquarium.
Duke Kahanamoku brought it to the world. What do you mean? How did that happen?
Well, Duke Kahanamoku, besides being an Olympic swimmer with size 13 feet, he popularized surfing all around the world. He would travel as far as Biarritz in France, to Australia. He went to Long Beach, California in the 30s, where my father saw him take a plank, fashion a surfboard, go out and surf. And wow, what he did was he seeded surfing all the way to Peru, where they have a Duke Kahanamoku club.
What decade would that have been?
That was the 30s.
In the 30s, all right.
Yeah, okay. In the 20s, late 20s and 30s, surfing traveled around the world.
That's great.
And Duke Kahanamoku did an amazing job because he was in a very personable, well-spoken, and absolutely charismatic man.
All right. The grandfather of surfing. What about, there's a lot of history in Hawaii. You've got the Bishop Museum and you got the old mission houses.
Mm-hmm. To learn the Hawaiian culture from the inside by going in and seeing their things and their foods, eating at a local Hawaiian restaurant like Ono Hawaiian, Hiley's, or Fort Ruger. And then you look at the islands where they lived, a culture completely separate from the world for about 600 years. In other words, a pristine, uninterrupted culture. So you go to the Bishop Museum and you see how people would adapt. And in some respects, it's sort of like if we sent people to Mars and then left them alone for 600 years. It's really fascinating stuff. And the Hawaiians were very creative and they had to be very spiritual to hold their society together. And it's still a very spiritual place, Hawaii. It's still, the Hawaiian culture is very strong and it's getting stronger. So I would recommend the Bishop Museum. I would recommend also the Honolulu Museum of Art, which is near Chinatown. And I would say go to Waimea Bay on the North Shore and go into the Waimea Valley, which is a Hawaiian cultural center. And you sort of get to see how it was practiced back in the day.
So it's more the resilience of the traditional culture is just quite amazing. And as kids, a lot of us went over there and saw the Kodak Hula Show at the Polynesian Center. And that was just kind of fun hula kind of action for your camera, but take it seriously. Go to these museums, and as you said, 600 years of isolation and evolution, it's quite an impressive culture. What about the old mission houses?
Well, you can go to the only royal palace in the United States, which is the Iolani Palace, and you'll be able to see a Victorian-style gingerbread palace that was lived in by Hawaiian royalty. Queen Liliuokalani was overthrown in 1893.
The only royal palace in the United States. I never thought about that. That makes sense.
Right. And, you know, to the Hawaiians, royalty is not like Downton Abbey. It's right now. They still have a royal family, and they still have a very strong belief that they're entitled to come back and take a larger share of control over these islands. And that's one of the really fascinating things about Hawaii is it's not dead history, it's living.
Right.
And it's mutating as we go along.
Journalist and author Don Wallace is telling us about recent trends in Honolulu right now on Travel with Rick Steves. Don contributes to major publications. He's written a couple of novels, and his latest book is about his family's crazy adventures when they renovated a ruined house on a small island in France. It's called The French House, An American Family, A Ruined Maison, and the village that restored them all. There's more on his website, don-wallace.com, and he'll be back on the show in a couple of months to talk about that. But Don and his wife have returned to their family home in Honolulu, and he's here to take your calls at 877-333-7425 about what's new on Oahu. Scott's on the line from Reno, Nevada. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Rick. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Don, great to speak with you. My question involves whether to rent a car on Oahu. One of the challenges that my wife and I always struggle with, parking seems to be atrociously expensive, Honolulu and Waikiki in particular. And there are so many other great parts of the island to go to, Ko'olina, Kualoa Valley. We're wondering if the new rail system that's under construction is going to maybe ease some of that and maybe make it possible to access some other parts of the island without having to rent a car.
Well, I think the rail system, although it is scheduled to open, I think, in 2020, is one of those projects that was built to serve an urban core and to concentrate people who actually live in Hawaii and take cars off the road. And it's a bit controversial because it's taken some farmland that was not going to be developed, and it doesn't actually go into Waikiki, nor does it go to the airport. And I suppose there were entrenched interests who made sure of that, perhaps. So I don't think rail is going to solve the problem. It may help the west side, which is very congested with traffic. I would say rent your car to go outside of Waikiki, but don't bother to have a car if you're just going to stay in Waikiki.
All right. That sounds like a great tip. Thanks very much.
Thanks for your...
Thank you, Scott.
And Keiko is on the line in Salt Lake City, Utah. Hello, Keiko.
Hi. I'm a home-based travel agent and specialize in Hawaii vacation. So I know a little bit about Hawaii, but I'm starting to thinking about move to Honolulu area. And I'm a little bit concerned about the cost of living very expensive. So
how does the cost of living, Don, relate in because you've lived in different places on the continent. Mm-hmm. How does it compare in Honolulu to the United States, the rest of the United States?
Well, you know, they just had some recent studies that show that Honolulu has actually got the worst differential between wages and cost of living. In other words, you're pretty tightly squeezed. I lived in New York City, and I would say grocery costs are similar. Housing costs are very high because they just can't fit in the workers and the second homeowners and the tourists who want fancier accommodations. So you might run into rents that are in the $2,000 to $3,000 a month range just to get a simple place that's pretty far from Honolulu.
I see. Which side of the island is the best to live in, do you think?
I think if you're going to work and you have to be in the center of town, Honolulu, you have to live on that south shore of Honolulu. On the other hand, if you can do your work through a computer, the internet, or telephone, I would live out in the North Shore.
Sounds great. Well, Keiko, I hope you can figure that out because if you can afford it, I'm sure it's a beautiful place to live.
Yes, I'm a Japanese, so I'm dreamed of it.
All right. Well, thank you for your call.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, Keiko.
Bye-bye.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Don Wallace. Don's a wonderful travel writer. His latest book is called The French House, talking about him and his family buying a house in Brittany and fixing it up. Fascinating insight into that culture. And today he's joining us to talk about his hometown of Honolulu. You know, a lot of times now we can fly directly to some of the other islands. And for some people, that's a blessing because you don't have to deal with Honolulu. On the other hand, you're missing the most important city in Hawaii. What's your thought on flying directly to the other islands or having a stopover in Honolulu?
Well, we have a lot of friends who used to just go straight to Kauai or Maui. And now they've started adding Honolulu because it's a civilization. It has things in a concentration you can't find, particularly in Kauai, which is quite rural. So if you want to go to a museum or you want to go to a nice restaurant, and not just one restaurant, Honolulu is the place to do it. I also say it's become really good for sports. Like if you want to do parasailing, if you want to do surfing, if you want to golf, if you're a runner or an athlete of that type, you know, Honolulu can kind of wrap it all up and give it to you. And finally, what Honolulu has is that fabulous North Shore, which has not only the giant surf, which is happening in February through March, April. It's the equivalent of being at the Super Bowl. You don't have to buy a ticket. You just drive out to the North Shore, and if the surf is pumping, you're sort of in a world-class sporting environment. That's something that I've always recommended to everyone, and people are absolutely blown away by it.
So what's the season for surfing on the North Shore of Oahu?
The big north swells start late November, December,
okay.
And then they really pump. And, you know, the one thing you can't do is expect to go out there and go swimming unless it's dead flat and the lifeguard says it's safe.
But basically, December through April, if the surf's up and you're in Oahu, head to the North Shore and you've got quite a spectacle.
Yeah. And you've got turtles. The beaches are extraordinary.
What are the pros and cons of different times of year for visiting Hawaii?
Well, you know, I think it depends what you're looking for. I first visited when I was a 16-year-old. I would say to any teenager, obviously you're on summer vacation, it's paradise. It's young people, it's sun, it's ocean, everyone's in bathing suits. and you're eating all this crazy food. So, you know, I would always say visit Hawaii in the summer with the kids because they really should experience it.
Mm-hmm.
I think, strangely enough, one of the most, what you might think, logical times, December, is a bit iffy because you get a really serious possibility of heavy rainstorms. They're called the Pineapple Express. Mm. And there's nothing like being in the tropics with it raining 24/7. So I would say I always kind of hedge your bets if you're coming at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the weather patterns and make sure they're not having an El Nino.
All right. And Don, let's just close it off with talking about this concept of living like a local. What's the word? Kama'aina.
Kama'aina.
When you go there, how can you, without being ridiculous, but how can you embrace the local culture and just feel like you're having a real Hawaiian experience? What's your best tip?
Well, I would say Hawaiians always say listen before you speak. It's a polite culture and it's a deferential culture. So, you know, I'd say you don't barge into situations. I would also say appreciate the culture by going and seeking out Hawaiian music, which definitely needs support. And you can hear it in Waikiki. Cyril Pahanui has his kind of kapila sessions. Go to the museum and take a little of it in. Don't just, plug in your Walkman or your iPod and walk around. And finally, I would go to the restaurants. I would go to Hailey's, Ono Hawaiian, or Fort Ruger. These are very humble places. They turn out the classic lau lau, lomi salmon, poi. Don't turn up your nose at poi. Just add the lomi salmon to it, and it goes down a lot easier.
I was going to say, when you said poi, I sort of reeled back, but you can actually garnish it and make it sort of like...
It's like glue.
Glue.
It's
okay,
like
there's glue. No way. It's
but,
like glue. Okay.
But I will say this. The people here, like my wife is an utter fanatic, you know, whether it's for 1 day poi, 2 day poi, gets sour on the third day. Then she bakes with it. She makes biscuits and cakes and pancakes with poi. You know, learn to love poi, even if you don't love it, and you'll make a friend.
To talk lovingly about poi, that gets you into the club, I'm sure.
It could. It could. The other thing is, I would say, you know, get into ramen, try ramen from that point of view, and go to Kaimuki, go to 12th Avenue in Wailai, and go to the Cocoa Head Cafe and try one of their amazing brunches. It's a wonderful world you have out there.
Wow. Sounds good. You've got me thinking, Don. Thank you so much. This is so fun to talk about Honolulu with somebody who really, well, who loves poi. Don Wallace, aloha.
Aloha, and thank you.
Don Wallace blogs about life and his latest book, The French House, at don-wallace.com. Whether it's fabulous beaches or mountain waterfalls, you're never far from the water in Honolulu. What's it like where you live? Up next, author Wallace J. Nichols explains the science behind the therapeutic benefits of being by the water, even if you're nowhere near a sandy beach. 877-333-7425 is our phone number. It's Travel with Rick Steves.